Hi, I'm Samantha, a past guest on CJAM's Handy Link. You're listening to Handy Link on CJAM 99.1 FM, reaching high ground in Windsor, Detroit.
Hello and welcome to Handy Link, sponsored by the Italian Canadian Handy Capable Association. I'm your host, Cam Wells. The first segment of our show is a repeat performance from a young student at St. Clair College. Last time she was on, she was talking about her goals to pursue a more formal education while being in a modified program known as CICE. We're going to hear what happens next.
It's Cam Wells here with
Carly Rock.
So she's going to be telling us a little bit about how her education has progressed since finishing in the CIC program. So how have things been with you?
Well, it's been pretty good. I'm in the CEP program. I'm upgrading my math and English, and hopefully I'll be in the ECE program pretty soon.
So, the supports in CIC enabled you to get ready for a regulation college program?
Yes, it had.
And are you using any sort of supports in CEP to help you with your learning disability?
A little bit, but I usually try to do it on my own because I know that in the real world, there's not going to be a lot of help. So, I usually try to be as much independent as I can possibly can.
So, do you see that as being pretty common among students with learning disabilities? Do you see them trying to do it on their own before going straight to the help card?
Some students with learning disabilities can be independent. Some people can ask for help. Our students can be like me and be really stubborn and try to do it on your own before they ask for help.
Which is usually the best approach, I think, in so much as you don't know if you're really capable of it until you give it that shot.
Oh, yeah. I am very stubborn and really try to do it as much as I can on my own before I can really ask for help, which in my case can be very challenging and can often lead to trouble. Other times I can really see how much I can be really capable of.
So, for those who didn't hear our prior interview, what's the nature of your learning disability?
I have epilepsy, which is a seizure disorder. I do have small seizures, and it has delayed my development, which is why I'm in the program. I'm for CIC, and the CIC program has helped me in tremendous ways. I am so eternally grateful for that program. I have met so many amazing people, and I graduated from the program with a 3.0 GPA, and now I'm in the CEP program, as I said, and hopefully I can work with people with learning disabilities and help them, like the CEP and the CIC people help me.
So, do you see it as my furthering message to students with disabilities that they can achieve?
Yes, definitely. That you can definitely move forward, even though that you have a learning disability. That you can definitely move forward with your strengths and your weaknesses.
So, if you could send any message to your fellow students who aren't sure whether they can succeed, whether they should give it a try, what would you say?
That it may seem like a step backwards going through your education, and even though you graduate, is that definitely this may seem like a step backwards, but it's actually a step forward, because you're definitely, like, saying that you're definitely, like, going in, like, beyond. You're going to succeed in life. You're gonna get a good job, maybe a good house. Definitely something to look forward to in the future.
Thank you very much for taking the time to do
this. Oh, thank you very much.
Of course.
This next segment of our show, we'll hear from our old friend Stephanie Craig. Will be telling us a little bit about the Turner Syndrome Society's holiday efforts. So tell me a little bit about the holiday happenings with the Turner Syndrome Society.
Well, in recent years, we host an annual giving campaign in the fall, and this year we've taken a bit of a new approach to it with making it a bit more personalized. So we call it the Christmas Campaign, and what we do is try to educate people about the Turner Syndrome Society, as well as personal stories from individuals and families who have been helped by the Turner Syndrome Society of Canada. We also offer individuals the opportunity to make either a one-time donation of either a certain fixed amount, such as $25 or $50, or any specific amount that they are capable of giving at the time, as well as giving them the choice to select where they would like their donation to go to for such areas such as Turner Syndrome Research, our Turner Syndrome Coins for Camp program, which is a donation program that we host, which works to take in donations to send young girls and teens with Turner Syndrome to summer camp, as well as our youth and adult programs, and the Turner Syndrome Roadmap, which is an initiative that we're putting out, which will provide local resources for individuals and families with Turner Syndrome in a variety of areas, such as heart health, hearing, as well as more psychological and social resources. We're also giving individuals the opportunity to become a monthly giver and select a specific amount which they would like to donate to the Turner Syndrome Society monthly.
So how does the community typically respond when asked to contribute and to open doors for those affected?
We've had a lot of very good feedback so far, especially because a lot of the people that we contact are friends and family members of individuals affected. So they have had the opportunity to not only get to know individuals with Turner Syndrome, but also get to see how the society has been helping these individuals and families through our conferences, through the children and young adult women who have had the opportunities to go to summer camp through the program, as well as families who have contacted the Turner Syndrome Society for resources, as well as getting connected with others with Turner Syndrome in their area. So we have had a lot of positive feedback, and a lot of individuals have stated just how thankful they are for the resources that the Turner Syndrome Society has been providing them.
When it comes to any charitable organization such as this, donations are kind of the key. It shouldn't come down to a matter of whatever you can pay for will give you the support you need. There's a lot of families on lower income who might just rely on these services. Any thoughts on this?
Oh, definitely, yes. Because we are a national organization, we have members from all across Canada and definitely of different socioeconomic statuses. So that's why we try to do different things throughout the year that could work for individuals of various financial capabilities at the time. So, you know, whether you could make a one-time donation of $5 or $10, or in the spring is when we do our Coins for Camp program. And what that is you could print off a donation sheet and people donate a toonie, which gets placed on the sheet, and we try to collect on each sheet 10 toonies so that each sheet totals up to $20. And then that way, last year, through the Coins for Camp program, we were able to fund all individuals who applied to receive a grant through the program to go to camp. So we definitely do understand that people have different financial capabilities, and we do definitely try to take that into account. And, you know, if for some reason you're not able to donate this year, you are definitely more than welcome to apply for any of the resources or grants that we offer. And, you know, we definitely don't look at donation status, taking into account and who receives grants or other resources.
For those on the receiving end, it's got to be basically a godsend, finding that there is the appropriate support available to them, regardless of where they're coming from. If they're affected, they're affected. You provide support.
Yes, yes, definitely. And that's why we try to also make sure that we get a good representation of applicants from all over Canada. We don't just want it being taken up by people in Ontario or people in British Columbia. We want to make sure that we really publicize the resources that we have and the funding opportunities that we have, whether it's helping send someone to camp or helping send someone to a Turner Syndrome conference who's never been to a conference before. And we want to make sure that we are giving as many people opportunities as we currently have the funding capabilities for.
So if you could send any one message about the need to continue to partner with the Turner Syndrome Society, what would you say?
I'd say that there's still so much work that we're trying to do that we need assistance with. For example, trying to get the word out to medical professionals about exactly what Turner Syndrome is, because there still is a lot of misinformation out there surrounding Turner Syndrome, as well as not only informing individuals affected by Turner Syndrome and their families about the medical and social and psychological effects of Turner Syndrome, but also giving them the opportunity to connect with others and form those networks and share stories and information with others. So that's what we try to do with the conferences. And it's getting harder and harder for things such as funding for conferences to be obtained. So we're really trying to do what we can to keep this running and give people the opportunity to attend these conferences and get the opportunity to meet others, because for some of these individuals, the first time they've met anyone else with Turner Syndrome is at a conference. So we're really trying to do what we can, not only to help spread information about Turner Syndrome, but also give people the opportunity to expand their social networks of other individuals with Turner Syndrome.
So for something like this, getting the word out to medical professionals, what you were saying, can't be just a footnote one day in med school. It may be that to them, but this is somebody's whole life is being affected by this. They should be taught real stories, that these are people. Any thoughts?
Exactly. And that's why we not only try to educate medical professionals, but also try to give individuals and their families with Turner Syndrome the information that they need so that they can also advocate for themselves when needed and feel comfortable with doing that, with making sure that they are getting their questions answered, that they are receiving the care and medical attention that they need.
like to thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
Great, thank you so much.
Of course. HandyLink will be right back after these commercial messages, so stay tuned.
Remember how excited you were as a child when the holiday season drew near? The first snow, window displays, bright lights everywhere? Christmas is a visual treat for kids, so while they're looking everywhere else, Jeff Shepley, Excavating and Road Maintenance, asks you to look out for them and drive a little slower near residential areas, crosswalks, and playgrounds. Let's make this a happy holiday for all children. Season's greetings from Jeff Shepley, Excavating and Road Maintenance in Essex. Visit ShepleyExcavating.com.
Welcome back to HandyLink, sponsored by the Italian-Canadian Handy Capable Association. I'm your host, Cam Wells. Earlier in our show, we heard from two of our favorite guests, Carly Rock, a young student at St. Clair, and Stephanie Craig, who told us a lot about the Turner Syndrome Society's holiday efforts. In this segment of our show, we're going to hear once again from John Brown, will be telling us a little bit more about Pedro's story and how poverty around the world can affect us here at home. So, for those who might have missed our prior interview, can you tell me a little bit about your recent missionary work?
In November, our church, Lake Church St. Andrews, we went to Bolivia. Our church sponsors over 400 children from the Bolivian area. And we were able to see how our money is spent down there, how the money that people donate, how it's spent down there. And we were able to go to at one of the sites that educates children and feeds the children. And we went to one of the poorest houses that I've seen in Bolivia. And we met a gentleman named Pedro who had five kids and a wife that was busy working in Chile. And Pedro had lost his leg because of a motorcycle accident 3 years ago and was unable to work.
So, under conditions like that, how would he be expected to support himself or his family, Bolivia not having the infrastructure that we do here?
Well, there is mandatory insurance coverage that each Bolivian must get, but it's so much minimal. It's not like our accident benefits or our health care that will help you, if you're involved in a motor vehicle accident in Canada, and if you did lose your legs because of the insurance coverage here, you would definitely be given the prosthetics and have an ability to get that. In Bolivia, they don't have that ability, and poor Pedro had one leg, and you could see his depression because he was unable to work and supply for his family.
So the church has taken steps to try to improve the situation for him.
Yeah. So our church took out of the blue in a random collection, our church was able to collect about $9,000 for Pedro's leg, and our intent is to buy him a leg. We're in the process of trying to finalize with Compassion's trying to get a hold of Pedro to see what his desire is, because maybe the leg, with all his depression, even if you give a man a leg, if you're still depressed, it may not necessarily fix the situation.
So, in terms of depression, you got to figure with all the sponsored children over there that they're going to respond to just life in general with that much more optimism if they hear from those who are backing them. If they get letters regularly,
they won't necessarily have some of the emotional disabilities that come from depression, knowing that someone cares about them. Any thoughts on this?
Well, we noticed that a lot of the Bolivian, a lot of the Bolivian children, they were excited to see Canadians and Americans, and I guess their perception of our lifestyle must be different. But I know a lot wish that a lot of children are sponsored, but they don't receive any communications from those that sponsor them. Sometimes we have no idea about the impact of as to how writing a sponsored child a letter can be.
Some cases might be the only real reach out for the outside world they're getting. If a child, for example, has a disability, and getting a letter from their sponsor could make all the difference between seeing life as hopeless or that someone still values them, their contribution.
Yes, well, our pastor Brad had sponsored a child, and he got to meet his sponsored child on the on his previous Bolivian trip. And this time when he went back, he got to see his sponsored child again. And the mother had said that, I was so delighted you guys came last time, and the marks of our daughter went up dramatically because of the hope that you offered. And these letters that people write, like, sponsoring a child is more than just, here's the money per month. They do need a spiritual contribution. Because let's face it, the world has a spiritual disability. We're so busy living our life and based on our own perception, and we forget that the greatest way to... greatest way out of ourselves is to serve others. And if people could serve others by writing letters, it's such a gift. These children look so forward to receiving letters.
So if you could send any message about the need for this sense of community, no matter what the finance or what the location, what would you say?
Well, certain people may not be able to afford, in our case, we pay a sponsorship of $41 per child. And for some people, that's not affordable, and it's understandable. But there are people that are able to spend thousands per month, and I know of one person that has over 100 kids. And that would be impossible for them to write over 100 letters per month. And there are people that need to be, maybe somebody can contribute by writing letters. It's a simple thing, and it is very, if you're sick and disabled and you're a bit depressed, and maybe you too can go write a letter and bring joy to somebody else.
So, what are the next steps in your missionary work? Do you see yourself going back and doing more for those in poverty? And
well, since I came back from Bolivia, I ended up I sponsored another child, and as we met our sponsor child, Nellie, and her family, and we discovered that Nellie. When she was living at her home with her, they were living with relatives. By us sponsoring the child, her parents were able to get their own house. So they're blessed. They were blessed by able to expand their own family. And sorry, Kim. My brain injury has lost my train of thought. I've lost train of thought of what the question was.
It's quite all right. It was just about, do you see yourself going back and serving more in these impoverished areas?
Definitely. Whether or not I can afford the money to go back on a mission trip again, I think my mission now is I can see the simple effect as to how much effect a letter has on children that they're so grateful that they're able to get hope. And I think I can have a major effect in the world. I want to really encourage people. You know, if you do have the $40 a month and you can't sacrifice your own life to go sponsor a child, and if you do, write a letter. Write a letter to your sponsee because they have so much joy when they receive a letter.
Like to thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
I love your work, Kim, of helping the disabled.
Thank you very much. Emotional and spiritual disabilities, my friends. A problem we need not create. Isolation among people with disabilities, or even without, can lead to this sense of desperation, this need to be validated. Why don't we just take the time to have consideration for our fellow human beings? A person with a disability need not find themselves clinging to somebody who says, "Oh, I'll accept you, I'll love you, but you got to send me $600 before I'll do that." No, it should come from a place where we want to reach out to our fellow human beings, where we want to maintain contact. Isolation is one of the deadliest causes of all disabilities, because a person with a disability who feels alone or isolated may get to this place where they so desperately need to feel that acceptance. Why? Why can't we see beyond ourselves? Why can we not simply say, there's lots of types of people in the world, and I'm going to be there for every one of them until they give me a reason to shy away? I know it is a step outside of ourselves, and it does take a certain introspection to ask the question, am I really someone who embraces diversity, or I cling to people in my socioeconomic status, and I just have that repackaged over and over? And yeah, it is a hard thing. As John mentioned quite rightly, there are those who simply can't do it. But even if you can't give a financial gift to somebody to improve their situation, buy them a leg or what have you, what you can do, show a little kindness, a little decency, and a little respect. For the fact of the matter is, you have no idea how far that can go. If you see a person in a wheelchair kind of shies away from his peers, and you're that first person to go over, spend some time genuinely getting to know what's beyond the surface, asking the questions about his family, his history, his beliefs, not just about his condition. You could change that person's whole life simply by reaching in. You're not going to succeed every time. That's true. Some people are very shy, very isolated. But you're better for trying. Getting to know that people are people regardless of what sort of financial situation they live in, their geographic location, their religion, sexual orientation, no matter what makes a person who they are, we are all entitled to that same humanity, same consideration. The fact is, the holidays really are the time when we have to remember the world is more than just our own needs. This has been HandyLink. I'm your host, Cam Wells, reminding you, we're all equal, and that you're all entitled to a great holiday. So get on out there and have yourselves a good one. Something tells me you've earned it, folks. We'll see you next week.